Well, here he is, the man of the hour. He's a legend in the wrestling business, maybe the biggest star ever to come out of Mexico, and a member of one of the biggest factions in pro wrestling history, the NWO. And now he's looking to get you involved in getting a new wrestling program on our TVs. Here he is, Conan. Conan, are you there?
Yo, man, what's up? Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, dude, thanks so much for being here. I mean, I'm a big, big fan. You know, we're big fans of pro wrestling here, and we know you're one of the most controversial guests that we can get in pro wrestling because you're not afraid to speak your mind.
Wait 1 second. Hello?
You're on crazy business right now. I know you're in Mexico. I know you're probably trying to do some AAA business right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually got out of a meeting, and then after this I'm going to another meeting. But where are you guys located?
Oh, we're out in New York.
New York. Okay. Have I spoken to you before?
No, we haven't spoken before, but we're big fans of yours, and we're big fans of Mass Republic, and we'll be talking about that tonight. But, you know, seeing that we're big fans of pro wrestling, we want to know, what's Conan's view on pro wrestling right now?
Well, you know, I'm not hating. I'm just stating. I think we've got a lot of, either inexperienced or young writers that don't know what they're doing. I think a lot of the stuff that's being shown on TV is very boring, very bland. They're not really making a lot of stars. We'll go on each company. We go to TNA, and I think they've done a terrible job of elevating all that great young talent that they have, which isn't so young anymore, whether it's Rude, Storm, Samoa Joe, you know, Daniels, Kazarian, AJ. You know, they've all been there about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and it seems anything that comes from, you know, they're like star-starved.
Yeah.
So anything that comes from WWE, whether it's Bubba Ray, Chavo, Jeff Hardy, you know, Kurt Angle, they all seem to get pushed ahead of all these guys. And when you see that the show is being built around Sting and Hogan, even though they are icons and the people love them, they should be giving the rub to other wrestlers and making them, and they're not. They're bigfooting them, and they're eating up all their TV time. You know, WWE had the big problem that they had so many legendary wrestlers retire, get hurt in the last few years. You know, whether it's Edge, Triple H working on a part-time basis, Rock, Brock Lesnar working on a part-time basis. And they've also had the same problem that, you know, they just haven't made enough new stars. Finally, after a long time, they pulled the trigger on Ziggler, and he got hurt. But there's other guys that should be elevated, and the show shouldn't be, you know, I just think there's just too much emphasis on taking care of John Cena and making sure that John Cena looks good. And they need to start. You can't make Cena any stronger than he already is. He's already an icon, a legend in the business, and you need to start making other people. I think the storylines by and far are not interesting. I thought the build-up to WrestleMania was terrible.
I agree.
And I can't believe that the same people that wrote the show after WrestleMania, which was one of the best shows I've ever seen, and the crowd had a lot to do with it. But they also did some good stuff, like putting the title on Ziggler and other stuff that they did on that show, which was really good. I can't believe that the same people that wrote that show write all the other shows. I wish all the shows could be pretty close to that. They have enough writers, and you know, it's just very sad that, you know, the majority of their shows kind of suck.
Well, one thing that kills me, especially like when you watch the developmental show, like NXT is a very good show, but everyone there is cookie cutter. That, and the fact that just the most important thing to me is the name. And I feel like everyone has generic names, like Conor O'Brien. Like, I miss those old, like, over-the-top gimmicks. Are you a fan of, like, that gimmick stuff, or how would you change wrestling right now?
Definitely, because when I was growing up, you know, it was just a different time, and you'd see, you know, Georgie Animal Steel, who was hairy and bald with a green tongue, and and then you had Macho Man, who was wild with all his outfits, and he had Elizabeth with him, and, you know, you had, you know, Hillbilly Jim was this big, fat farmer guy, and you just had different personalities, Roddy Piper, and, you know, the last time I went to the to a WWE taping, and I was backstage visiting some of my friends, it looked like a casting call for Glee. Every guy was like, you know, looked like a model, you know, looked, you know, androgynous. All the girls were really hot. You know, they all look the same. And so
I don't know if I would say all the girls are hot though in WWE right now. I think they're missing the hot chicks.
I would say 80% of them are, and they can't wrestle, and that's another bad thing.
Yeah.
So once they get in the ring, the matches are 2 minutes, and or they have these wild battle royals where they stick everybody in so nobody can notice their limitations, and really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, one thing I know that you wrestled for Stu Hart earlier in your career, and I know you credited him with a big. You wrestled for Stu Hart back in your early days. And, we always hear these documentaries, especially the WWE-produced stuff or the books that, like, Bret wrote or Dynamite Kid, and they always talk about the Hart house and being with Stu Hart. And I need to know, what's your personal – give me a personal story from being in the Hart house.
You need to know what? Your voice is bouncing all over the place like a ping-pong ball off a wall. What was the question?
It's this damn Mexican phone line, damn it. No, it's Stu Hart. Stu Hart, you were in Stu Hart's house. Give us your personal story of being in Stu Hart's house.
Well, I never went to the dungeon to get stretched or anything like that. My problem was is that when I was in Calgary, it was at the end, at the very end, right before they folded up, and so they didn't have a lot of funds, and their check said Foothill Athletic Club, and every time I went somewhere to cash it, they would just see the name Foothill Athletic Club, and they were like, no, man, we're not going to cash that. There's so many of the checks are bouncing. There were a lot of hotels we couldn't go to because the boys went in and they destroyed the room. And, it was a very hard territory because, as you know, Canada, everything's far,
mm-hmm.
And I went there in the winter. And so it was very hard that way. I learned a lot. It was funny because Pillman was there, and he was always pulling ribs on Kazmaier. Like, he would go outside and pretend he was fighting another wrestler and blade himself outside of the car. And Kazmaier thought that he really got punched and was bleeding, and he'd freak out. And so, there were a lot of good ribs and a good time that way. But it was very hard territory just because of, the distance from city to city and in the snow. And I was just breaking in, so I had to help put up the ring and stuff like that. But he did invite me. I actually told him, I go, listen, Stu, I don't got no cheese. Nobody wants to cash my checks, and I'm broke, So he just said, oh, well, come over to the house. And I went over to the house, and, he had a million cats all over the place. Maybe that's why Teddy Hart has them. But he had a million cats all over the place, walking all over the kitchen, the counter, everything. But they made me food. He fed me, he gave me my money, he always took care of me, and so he was really cool with me, but his house was a sight to behold.
It's funny because we had someone actually email us a great question. What is more likely to happen, Conan versus Teddy Hart's cat main eventing in CMLL, or Conan working full-time in TNA again?
Teddy's cat against who?
They said, what's more likely to happen, you versus Teddy's cat main eventing CMLL, or are you working full time in TNA again?
Oh, probably Teddy's cat. I've got solar, nuclear, every type of heat you can imagine rolled into one at TNA. So you'll probably never see me there again.
We want to know the backstory. I know Max Moon was supposed to be. It was your idea. Is what everyone knows, but what's the real inside story between Max Moon, and how come it ended up being Paul Diamond and not you being the Max Moon character?
Well, the Max Moon character was actually an idea I had when I went to Japan, and it was a robot that shot smoke, confetti. There was even talk of putting a jetpack on me and flying from the stage into the ring, but there were problems with the pyrotechnics or fire marshal or whatever, using whatever materials you needed in the jetpack in an indoor stadium. But, it was something that was going to be pretty elaborate, and they invested a lot of money in it, and I would go to every house show, and I would have to lug all these boxes of robot gear and try it out in front of Vince. Vince would have me walk like a robot, and he would bring me wrestlers from Mexico to wrestle my style because I didn't know how to wrestle American style. But basically what happened is at that time in Mexico, I became very popular, and I was starting to get into other endeavors besides some wrestling, whether it was music, soap operas, etc. I was really blowing up hard there, and I just got tired of taking these, you know, all these robot parts with me all over the United States and having them fitted and all that. And I missed a couple TV tapings, and so they called me, they fired me, and Paul Diamond said that he fit into my, you know, to the outfit, and so they gave him the outfit. But it was never, you know, it was never developed the way originally it was conceived. Originally, it was going to be, a robot suit that, like I said, shot fire and confetti and smoke, and hopefully we were going to do the jetpack thing. But that was basically what the original concept.
Well, being in New York, we were big fans of ECW. We'd do that little 3.5-hour trek to Philadelphia every 3 weeks. And I remember back in 96, we saw you in ECW against Jason Knight, and you had a match against the Sandman. But knowing that, you know, we were big wrestling fans, I used to read those Dave Meltzer Wrestling Observer dirt sheets. And back in the day, Conan was the biggest draw in Mexico. Well, probably, in my opinion, that is, your name is synonymous with Mexico. So at that point, we were dying to see you in main events here in ECW. And, you know, they used Rey Mysterio, they used Juventud and Psicosis because you brought them in. But how come, do you feel that they misused Conan in ECW? And why did they put you on such a low tier there?
Well, I think two things that happened was, I think Paul Lee assumed that since I spoke English and I was raised in the United States, I knew how to wrestle the American style, but I really didn't. You know, I was trained and I started in Mexico, and my first 10 years in the business, all I did was Lucha Libre. So I really didn't know how to wrestle the American style. And what, you know, people that aren't familiar with this, it's not easy to adapt from one style to another. And so when I went to WCW, I actually had to be deprogrammed because the way they sell in Mexico and U.S. is different. The psychology is very different. There's a lot more comedy in Mexican wrestling. And you know, it was just very hard. So when I went to WCW, they put me in with this guy called Bradley, I believe. And we had a terrible match, and it was because of clash of styles, you know. And so so now he had to find somebody that I could have a match with. And very early in, I mean, I think already in my second match, I think Kevin Sullivan had already called me. And he said, listen, I want you to come to WCW. So very early on, I told Paul Lee, I said, look, I don't think I'm going to be here this long because, you know, they really promised me a lot of things in WCW that didn't come through, but that's neither here nor there. But the biggest thing was the money, you know, and I just told them, look, I'm going to bounce. They're offering me more money, but I don't want to leave you empty-handed, so I'm probably going to take Ray and Psicosis with me, but I'll send you some other talent. And I sent them Juventud and I sent them La Parca. But that was the problem in WCW, that I think I went in there early on, they knew I was leaving, so why build anything around me?
Mm-hmm. Now, we want to talk about Master Republic. I mean, Master Republic in a number of days will be on Kickstarter. Talking about a new program, get a different product out there right now. You know, you got WWE, you got TNA, and to me, it's both kind of the same nonsense. We need something a little bit different right now, and it's an opportunity for people to go out there and help from the ground level up, try to help a new promotion start. And this one, Master Republic, has been around for a while, and they want to get a TV show off the ground. They're looking for everyone's help. So I want to know, how did you get involved with Master Republic?
Well, the two guys that are behind it, Kevin Kleinrock and Ruben Zamora, who are big wrestling fans and have dedicated, you know, the last 10 years plus to Lucha Libre and understand it, especially Kevin, you know, being a white guy, he probably understands it better than just about any Anglo in the United States. And, you know, it's a faster-paced style, a lot more colorful. It can be a lot more violent. We're a little bit more R-rated because we don't really have a PG standards. And so, you know, I've known Kevin Kleinrock since I worked with him in XPW, which was this old promotion they had in L.A., run by Rob Black, which I always used to call the ECW of the West. And so I met him there. And then Ruben Zamora, who's his partner, I had met him as a promoter in San Diego, and they're both two very knowledgeable, hardworking guys that want to really give people something different. If you ever saw Society X, that stuff he
Wrestling
had on,
Society
did you ever see
X.
that on MTV?
Yep, Wrestling Society
Yeah, except
X.
for the outlandish, you know, ring announcer and the you know, screaming at the top of his lungs and the outlandish explosions they had every match. I mean, you know, they had some great talent there, whether it was Jack Evans or Teddy Hart or, you know, whoever it was. And they really had a different style that was way different than what WWE and TNA perceived to be main event style. And so, you know, they really want to give a lot of young guys and luchadors basically an open canvas to do what they want without restrictions or without politics or, you know, you can't outdo the main event. Everybody just goes out there, you know, balls to the wall and tries to give the best match they can, which is something AAA is going to do when we come to the United States. We're going to be there next year, and that's the same thing we want to give. We want to give something that's so different. Like, did you guys see WCW when, like in 95 or 96 when the Mexicans first came in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you know, that just revolutionized the whole sport. It just did.
That gave WCW something completely different than it did against the competition.
Right, which they never capitalized on due
exactly.
to cultural ignorance and politics. But, you know, we're going to be able to bring it on our terms, you know, and not just to Hispanics. It's going to be on a bilingual channel, which will actually be in English. So now Americans who always say, oh, well, I watch, you know, AAA, but I don't understand what they're saying because the announcers, boom. Now these guys are going to be talking in English, and so it's going to be something for everybody, and they're not going to be able to outdo us because we're going to take away a lot of the politics and BS and the games and, you know, all the stuff that goes, you know, I've been in both promotions, and we're just going to let our talent go out there, speak for itself, and we're going to give people stuff that they can't see in TNA and they've never seen in WWE. So we will be giving a different project, a different product. And Mass Republic has the same idea in mind.
Well, what's your role in Mass Republic? Are you going to be a wrestler, an announcer, or a behind-the-scenes guy? What's your role?
I think I'm behind the scenes like an associate executive producer and just helping wrestlers. You know, I think I'm going to be doing with X-Pac, who's another brilliant mind. Helping wrestlers put together their matches, helping them with their entrances, helping them with their promos, which is kind of my specialty. You know, X-Pac is one of the greatest workers around, so he'll help them hone their skills and just all the experience that he has. He's been everywhere, and I've been everywhere, and we're going to be able to give it to the wrestlers and, you know, and with a more modern outlook because a lot of the agents that are in both companies kind of have an old school way of thinking. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And we kind of take a little bit of the old school with modern day thinking, and we mix them together to give you a better idea of what you should be doing in the ring.
And again, this is going to be something that everyone on our show is familiar with. Kickstarter. We had a big campaign for Barbed Wire City, which is an ECW documentary, and it got funded. And the way Kickstarter works is that we ask for your help. You know, we ask for the people's help. And as you donate, the more you donate, the better the prize that you get. You get something, an incentive. It could be perhaps watching the episodes before anyone else can. I mean, there's all speculation. Or you might get autographed photos, whatever it might be. And it'll be out there soon, very, very soon. There's different buckets for as much money as you can spend on this. So it's really a ground-level type thing.
And I'm sorry. And one thing that's really cool to me is that some of the best commentary you'll ever hear, but you'll never hear, is if you could actually sit backstage and hear the wrestlers criticizing other wrestlers while they're wrestling, it's incredibly funny. So you're going to be able to hear, like, me and X-Pac backstage, you know, commentating, criticizing, putting over, you know, whatever, backstage stuff that you normally wouldn't hear. And we're both pretty uncensored. So that in itself is going to be a pretty cool reward. And And, you know, if you're into this, Juventud will give you a strawberry hand job, but that's just for special people. A strawberry whipped cream hand job, but that's for special people.
It's funny. Real quick, rapid fire round right now. These are some email questions we got. We need some serious answers in, like, a sentence or less.
Yeah, boom.
Why did the world need a Dixie Carter action figure?
That's the same question I asked. I couldn't believe it. They made her out to look like she was 20 years old. She had the, like, this really, you know, had this skirt on. Then they had these little Dixie cups with the Rebel cup on it. I'm thinking, who's buying this? You know what I'm saying? And no wonder it's on discount. Because it was a spring sale discount.
All right, we got, did Lex Luger kill Miss Elizabeth?
Did Lex Luger what?
Kill Elizabeth.
Nah. You know, I would say no. You know, he loved her very much, and I think that, you know, they both went overboard with whatever they were doing, and very lamentable.
Will Stacy Keebler?
I will tell you what he did kill. He did kill FUBU for all white guys, and he did kill, you know, he actually wanted to be so cool, because the coolest guys were Nash and Hall, you know, and so everybody wanted to be like them. And they were always listening to rap music. So he actually would go into the dressing room. He goes, has anybody seen my Jay-Z tape? And we'd be like, really, dude? Really? You're listening to Jay-Z? Oh, I like that song by Tupac. And he just wanted to fit in so bad. So he killed Tupac and FUBU with one fell swoop in WCW. He would wear FUBU. Can you believe that?
That's so funny. I remember he actually came out on like a Nitro or a Thunder with FUBU on.
Yeah. Totally killed it.
All right, do you think
I wouldn't wear it after that?
Do you think Stacy Keibler will ever appear? Will ever tweet a wrestler ever?
That's funny. I actually tweeted her, and she didn't answer me back. And we were really good friends. I mean, I remember one time we were in Las Vegas, and we were at an autograph session, and right next to us was a porn convention, and we went in there and we kicked it, you know. But I don't know. I don't know if maybe she has too many followers and she doesn't read them all, or she's just gotten a big head. I don't know, but she was really cool back in the day.
Wow. I remember seeing a video back in the day of, like, I guess it was a spring break thing, and there she was in a thong shaking her ass in front of all the people back in the WCW times.
Awesome.
I got a good one. Whatever happened to Mad One?
To Mad One?
Whatever happened with Mad One? Where is he?
Well, Mad One was the guy that... When I did the videos in WCW, he was the other guy that came out with me, and he actually helped me produce the song that I did in LAX, which I thought was sick, the one that had the bullets at the beginning. He actually did that song for Rey Mysterio, Buyaka, 619.
Yeah, 619.
Right. So he sang on. He did that song, and he also did the new one that Chavo comes out to in TNA. It's got a pretty good beat, and so he did that. He's in San Diego, you know, just on the indie circuit doing his thing.
Our last question. You always get buried on camera by Sean Oliver at Kayfabe Commentaries. He says that he paid you to do an interview, that you took his money and no-showed, and he buries you every chance he can. What exactly happened with Kayfabe Commentaries and Sean Oliver?
Well, basically, he's a walking glory hole anyways. And I would like to give him a Dirty Sanchez and have him give me a rusty trombone, but that's besides the fact. Basically, what happened was is he called me to do some show. I don't know where it was. It was like 5 years ago, dude. I had even forgotten it happened. I don't remember exactly why I couldn't go. I don't have a reputation for, you know, certain guys have reputation. Everybody knows in this business who's who does what, who has a reputation for no-showing, who does drugs, blah, blah, blah. I've never had that reputation. I forgot exactly what happened that I couldn't go, and then I told them, you know what, I'll make it up to you. And I don't remember exactly what happened, why I couldn't or why I didn't go. I just really don't. But just the fact that he's been such a bitch about it, yeah, I kept his $500 and go fuck himself. So that's my side of the story.
Nice. Okay. Conan, Mass Republic will be on Kickstarter soon. We talked about it tonight. We're going to talk about it more in the next couple of weeks. And as soon as it's up on Kickstarter, we'll be talking about it tremendously, putting links on our website. I'm sure you can check it out at Conan's Twitter. Conan, what's your Twitter?
K-O-N-N-A-N 5150, Conan 5150, boom. And I also have a podcast on M as in Mark, L as in Larry, W Wrestling, MLW.com. And we've had some really great interviews with like Chris Jericho, Ed Ferrara, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman. They all get their balls busted beautifully by me. And check it out.
The Sean Waltman one is my favorite. I've been listening ever since it first started. The Sean Waltman one, download it now. And also check out at Masked Republic on Twitter to get all your updates. And we will be talking about this for the next couple of weeks because we want to help promote this because Masked Republic is an awesome promotion, and seeing them on our TV is what our goal is, and we hope everyone else joins in the fight to give something different to the wrestling fans out there. WWE, TNA is the same nonsense. We want something different. We want Masked Republic on TV. Conan, thank you so much for joining us tonight, buddy.
And let me just throw a little addendum to that. Kevin Kleinrock, one of the most creative guys I've ever met in this business. So is Ruben Zamora. So they're always going to come with something different. Then you got me and X-Pac behind the scenes helping. So it's going to really be cool, different, and exciting because we're still wrestling fans and we hate what we see on TV. I just can't believe they have so many resources, so many writers, and that's the crap they give us. And you're going to see how us on a limited budget and just the passion of the wrestlers that are working with us and doing other ideas, how much cooler the product's going to be. And it'll also be kind of a preamble of what's to come with AAA, because what we're about to do in the United States will be, and I guarantee you, revolutionary.
Awesome, awesome. Just don't bring me any Zack Ryders. I can't stand that guy.
Nah, what a goofball. I love how he's like, yeah, here's my last chance to, you know, he's coming out with a new gimmick, and I don't know. Did you see the video that he did, the last video that he did where he was singing?
Yeah, I wanted to piss on it.
How brutal was that?
Awful, awful.
That was worse than that girl that got all the heat for singing Thank God It's Friday or It's Friday Again or whatever. You remember that?
William Hung.
Yeah. It was brutal. It's like, how do you expect me to take you seriously? Dude, you're a goofball. Yeah, that show, Long Island IZ, was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But still, you know, he wants people to take him seriously when he's, you know what I'm saying? He's just like a goofball. I'm a big, just real quick, I'm a big fan of Big E. I love The Shield. I like, you know, Ziggler. Those are the young guys that I really like. Kofi Kingston. I like Cesaro. And I love a lot of the guys that they got in NXT, you know, Pac, whatever name they gave him, yeah. Adam Neville.
That's great.
He's supposed to, yeah, right. Chris Hero.
Rotundo's kid is amazing.
Generico.
Rotundo's kid is amazing. Bray Wyatt, what do they call him? Husky Harris. The kid's amazing.
Yeah. So those are the guys I like to see, and they don't really do too much with them. Hopefully they'll mess up with them, and we can pick them up in the future and do something with them.
There you go. Conan, thank you so much for joining us tonight, brother.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Peace. And, you know, help us with the Kickstarter. Check out our podcast. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you, brother. Hey, legend in the business, Conan. Thank you so much for joining us. Check him out on Twitter and Facebook.